All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Pei Aleph. We are picking up on the top of Pei Aleph 81. So remember again, the Mishnah introduced us to the halachos of Yichud. So now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says the following. So remember, we spoke in the Mishnah that the laws of Yichud are the following. The laws of Yichud, so far, we learned are two men with one woman is not Yichud, but two women with one man is Yichud. So the Gemara now is qualifying. Now remember, it sounds like from the Mishnah that as long as you have two men and one woman, it's fine. No problems of Yichud. Now the Gemara is just qualifying that and saying, no, there are other pieces that are also necessary to ensure that Yichud is not correct. Pei Aleph, Amad Aleph, first line. So Amrav Yehuda Amrav, so lo shanu ela be'ir, ava b'derech ad shiu shlosha. So we'll say, when we say that two men and one woman is not Yichud, that's only if they're in a city. In other words, that's only if there are other people around. However, if they are on the road, meaning they're traveling, then you need three men and one woman. Why? Shema yitztarech echa me'en lahashtin, because perhaps one of them will have to relieve themselves. V'nimtza echad misyachid ima erva. Because we'll say, here's the issue. If you have two men traveling with one woman, let's say one of them has to relieve themselves, one of the men. So what's capable? So if you're traveling on the road, you know, you can't just take care of your needs right there. You're going to have to find a place a little bit off to the side. So what ends up happening then is the one man is left with the woman. And remember, as we spoke about yesterday, the interesting part that people often don't realize about Yichud is, Yichud doesn't just simply mean a man and a woman in a closed room. Yichud is a man and a woman in any isolated situation. So you could be outdoors, but there could still be Yichud. So therefore, the issue over here is if you're traveling, it has to be three men and one woman. This way, in the event that one of them has to take care of his needs, there's still two men left with the woman. So say the following, Brisa supports this. But actually, it's a Mishnah. Most from those shnei talmidei chachamim shema yavo ala baderech. So talking about by the isha sota. So when the man accompanies his sota wife, the wife accused of adultery, to the Beis Hamikdash to administer the sota waters. So the local Beis Din appoints two talmidei chachamim to go ahead and accompany the husband and wife on their journey. Why? Shema yavo aleha baderech. Out of concern that maybe the husband will have relations with his wife as they're traveling to the Beis Hamikdash. And what? And of course, this would undermine the entire sota process. So the Gemara says, "Trevi you." So what do you see from here? There are two talmidei chachamim, ihu plus the husband. What does that make? Using our higher math skills, so tlasa three. So what do you see from here? So this seems to be a proof to the fact that when traveling on the road, you need to take three men and one woman in order to avoid any yichud situations. To which the Gemara says, no, that has nothing to do with yichud. Hasam ki hechi dinahavol sahadi. The issue over there, we'll say, is that we want those two talmidei chachamim there in order that they should be witnesses. Remember, we spoke about this yesterday, that there is a concern that in the event that the husband does have relations with his wife, so we want to be able to warn him that if he does this, he totally undermines the sota process. First of all, what he's doing is asr, that's A, and B, it undermines the sota process. So the two talmidei chachamim that are there to serve in the function and the capacity as witnesses, and not really from a yichud perspective. Rav Yehud, so now, today's daf, there's a couple of just amazing, amazing stories. So Rav and Rav Yehud, Yossi, you chose a good day to start coming, Baruch Hashem. This is mamish, like, this is good. Not just that you get on the siyum, but you also mamish. Get beautiful words. So Rav and Rav Yehuda, we're traveling on the road. So what happens? Havakazlahi isesa kamayim. So both said there was a woman in front of them. Amrali Rav Rav Yehuda, dal kareich nikamei gehenem. So also listen to this. So Rav said to Rav Yehuda, quick, lift your feet. In other words, let's start walking quickly in order to get in front of Gehenna. I will say, so what do they seem to be concerned about over here? They seem to be concerned about a potential yichud situation. Because it's the two of them and this woman. It's two of them and this woman. And ultimately, and remember, apparently they're in the middle of nowhere. So Rav says to Rav Yehuda, you know, we better accelerate our path so that we don't run into a yichud situation. So we'll say, listen to this. Amar lei, v'ha marhu d'amar b'ksherim shapir dami. So Rav Yehuda says back to Rav, but Rabbi, what are you concerned about? The halacha is that what? That as long as the two men are ksherim, as long as the two men are kosher, ultimately, again, there's no yichud problem with one woman, two men and one woman. So listen to this. Rav says to Rav Yehuda, Amar lei, mi yemer de b'ksherim kigon ana va'at. Who says we're ksherim? Who says we are Kshirim? We'll say, now understand, you'll see the profundity of just a moment. Elok Kigon Mai. So who are Kshirim? If Rav and Rav Yehuda both are not Kshirim, we're in big trouble. So who are the Kshirim Kigon? Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi Vechaverav. So the Kshirim like Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi and ultimately his friends. Rashi points out that his friends are Rabbi Tzadok and Rav Kehano. We both said, the incredible message of this Gemara is, you know, there's a concept of Ina Petropos La'arayis, that a person should never think that they're above any kind of temptation. It's a very important issue that sometimes people think that they are stronger than certain temptations in this world, and at the end of the day, they fall prey to all types of mistakes and desires. So Rabbi is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, let's not allow ourselves to get into this situation. I'm not doubting the fact that we may be kasherim, but even if I'm a kasher, the goal in life when it comes to temptation, and also we say this every single morning in Berachos Hashach, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo li din nisayon v'lo di v'roshom, don't bring us to nisayon. Don't, you know, as much as I like to think that I'm working on myself to be able to withstand nisayon, what's even better than withstanding nisayon is what? Not being put into it in the first place. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you help me avoid those situations, but more importantly, I'm going to help myself avoid those situations. Amar Rav, Malkin al Yichud, Veinos al Yichud. Rav said, we administer Malkus for Yichud, but we will not answer a woman upon her husband of Yichud. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, if somebody violates the laws of Yichud and is alone with a woman, we will administer Malkus. Now, what does it mean we will administer Malkus? Rashi says over here, Rashi says Mardus, Rabbinic Malkus. So we'll flog them rabbinically. But however, in Osin, now what this means is, if a married woman violates the laws of Yichud, as much as she's done something that's Osir, we would not prohibit her upon her husband for that. In other words, we do not automatically assume that where there is Yichud, there is Bia. And therefore, again, we give Malkus, but we won't ask her unto her husband. Amr Ravashi, lo amon ela b'yichud pnuya, ava b'yichud eshes ish lo, shlote mozi la zalbones. What's this? Very interesting. Ravashi said, when do we give Malkus? We only give Malkus if for a single woman who was, or a single man, who's in violation of Yichud. But if she's married, still a married woman, we won't give Malkus. We'll say why? Because what's the problem? If you give her Malkus for a violation of Yichud, you run the risk of casting aspersions on her offspring. Meaning, if people see her getting Malkus, people will assume that why is she getting Malkus? Because maybe you're choshed that she committed adultery. If you're choshed that she committed adultery, then what does that say about the genealogy of her children? Marzutra Malki Umachris. So we'll say Marzutra used to administer Malkus for people who violated the laws of Yichud, and he would announce. In other words, he would announce why he was giving the Malkus. It's not because of any kind of impropriety, it's not because of any adultery, but rather, again, it's because you violated the laws of Yichud. Amir Nachman mi par hachya Ravashi, marna mi lo kivilachris. So Ravachman said to Ravashi, so new Ravashi, why don't you also do the same thing like Marzutra is doing? Go ahead and give Malkus, but announce. In other words, remember, Ravashi was concerned before that what? Ravashi was concerned that if you give Malkus, it's motzi lazavoneh. If you give Malkus, people are going to think that perhaps adultery happened, are going to cast aspersions on the woman's offspring. So Rav Nachman says to Ravashi, why don't you just do what Marzutra did, namely give them Malkus, but what? Announce why Malkus are being given. This way it's clear it's only because of Yichud, and it's not because of adultery. But I said, this is very profound. To which Ravashi responded, Amalei, Ikad Hashemah Baha, Voshah Baha. We'll say, you know, you can't count on people listening to all of the announcements at the end of davening. Right? You can't go ahead and count on people listening to the announcements that Beis Din is making when they give Malkus. That people might hear what? She's getting Malkus because of Yichud, and they might not hear the second part of the announcement, but we're not for any type of adultery. So if they only hear the first part, that she's getting Malkus for Yichud, and they don't hear the second part, the qualifier, that we're not cautious that she committed adultery, they could walk away with the erroneous misconception, or the erroneous conception that she committed adultery, and therefore you end up casting aspersions on the genealogy of her children. Amarav, Malkin al lo tova hashmua. Supposed to say this is amazing. So Rav says, we give Malkus for people who are subject of bad rumors. As well say, if somebody is persistently at the center of the rumor storm, they're always the subject of bad rumors. So Rav says we give Malkus on that. I will say, now what Rav is saying is, where there are persistent rumors, often there's something. Lav Dafka is the same exact thing that the rumor is about, but there's something. Therefore, Rav says, as a way of ensuring that people stay on the straight and narrow, we give Malkus if somebody's persistently the subject of bad rumors. Shneamar, Albanai, this is by Shmuel Hanavi. Albanai, Kilotova Hashmua, Kilotova Hashmua. This is Shmuel was rebuking his sons, Chafni and Pinchas, because they were consistently the subject of negative rumors. Marzutra, Mosivle Afsira Al Kasve, Umikrile Albanai. So Marzutra literally will say, now Afsira, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Afsira is literally a halter which goes on top of the animal. So whether it means that Marzutra would put the halter on top of the person who was getting flogged, or perhaps that he would flog the person with the actual halter, and he would say this pasuk, Albanai, no, my sons, bad my sons, ki lo tova hashmua, because what I'm hearing about you is not good. Amar Rabba, bai lo bi'ir, ein choshim shum yichud. Well, it's another important halach. Shabbos and laws of yichud. If a woman's husband is in the city, then that takes away a yichud situation. Well, so now, what does that mean? So remember, what we've established is one man and one woman is yichud. Now the Gemara is giving a qualifier. And the qualifier is that if the woman's husband is within the same city, then ultimately that takes away a yichud situation. Now what does that mean by labiyir? So what that means is the following. Essentially the Gemara is saying is that lamaisa, if the husband could come in at any given moment, then that takes away a yichud problem. That takes away a yichud problem. So I'm Rabbi Yosef. Pesach pasuach le'rushus harabim in choshesh mishum yichud. Similarly, if obviously the laws of yichud are a little bit more not complicated, but a little bit more involved than the way we're presenting it here. But this is halacha l'maisa, meaning again, if a woman is home and there's another man in her house, and the door to the house is open, the husband is around, and he comes in just unannounced, it's his own home, then l'maisa that could go ahead and preclude a yichud problem. So the Gemara goes weiter. Similarly, pesach pasuach le'rushus, if let's say the woman is in a place with another man, where the door opening is into Rosh Sarabim, in Choshesh Mishum Yichud. In other words, I will say, this would be a case where Lamaisa, there was a door open into a public area. So this would also preclude Yichud, a Yichud problem. Rabbi Bi Ikla Lebei Rabbi Yosef, Basra de Karech Rifta. So we'll say, so Rabbi Bi, this is actually very interesting as well. Rabbi Bi went to the house of Rabbi Yosef. Okay, he went for a meal. Basra de Karech Rifta, so they ate. And apparently what they did is they ate like in the attic area. So they ate. And Rabbi Bi was staying in the attic. Amar lehu, shakule darga mitusi Bibi. Take away the ladder from Bibi. In other words, after they ate, Rabbi Bi was staying upstairs, and Rabbi Yosef and his wife were sleeping downstairs. So Rabbi Yosef said that the ladder should be taken away from the attic to the first floor. Fire. Yeah, these were tzaddikim. They don't throw about such things. So the Gemara says, thank you, Fire Marshal Schoenfeld. Appreciate it. So they took away the ladder. And the ladder, remember, the reason they did that is that Rabbi Bi shouldn't have access to the bottom floor. The Ha'amar Rabbah. But one second. But we just said before that if her husband is in the city, then there is no yichud problem. To which the Gemara says, "Shani Rabbi Dishosh Venise Havi Vigaisabe." Rabbi is different. Why? Rabbi is different. Why? Because Rabbi was very familiar with Rav Yosef and his wife. So this is actually very interesting. So what the Gemara is suggesting is, Baila Beir works the idea is like this. If the husband normally comes in and out, and now what happens, and there's a man in the house with a woman, and the husband is going to come in and he's going to look at this guy and say, what are you doing here? So that's by definition a deterrent to sin. However, if a man is very friendly with the husband and wife, and therefore his presence in the home would not kind of pique the curiosity of the husband, so perhaps the heter of Baila Be'ir doesn't apply in the same way. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yosef wanted to go ahead and have the ladder removed in order to avoid any yichud situations. Amrav Kana, Anoshimi Bechos, Anoshimi Bifnim, In Choshim Shem Yichud. Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara gives another interesting case over here. If you have, let's say, again, if you can imagine, you have two houses that touch one another, that abut one another. And we'll call these the inner one and the outer one. So the outer one is the one that accesses the public thoroughfare. The inner one is the one behind the outer one. And the only way for the residents of the outer one to get to the Rosh Hasharabim is to get from the inner one to Rosh Hasharabim is to walk through the outer one. So the Gemara is going to discuss, let's say in one house you have men, one house you have women. So what happens with the Yichud issue? So the Gemara says the following. Anoshimi b'chutz v'nashimi b'fnim. If men are in the outer house, so you understand when I say the outer one, that's the one that's right next to Rosh Hasharabim, and the women are in the inner one, which is the one, the house behind the outer one. In choshishim mishum yichud. Both said there's no problem of yichud in that particular situation. Why is there no problem of yichud? Because both said at the end of the day, a man is not going to venture into what we call the inner house. Why? Because he has no place being there. Meaning it's clear that if he walks in there, he's walking in there for something illicit because there's no other excuse that he needs to access that area. On the other hand, and therefore again, there's no chashash, anoshim mibifnei v'noshim mibachutz. However, again, if men are in the inner house, meaning the house behind the outer one, v'noshim mibachutz, and women are in the outer house, which is the house that's next to Shas Rabim, so that one is a problem. Choshim mishim yichud. Then I both say, ultimately, that one has a particular problem. Why? Because a man could enter into the women's house and he could claim that he's only entering into there in order to access to the Rosh Hasharabim, when in fact he may have some type of illicit intentions. The Masnisa Tana Ipcha, Rabbi said in the Braisa, we learn just the opposite. Amar Abaye, Hashta da Amar Avkahana, Hachi, the Tana Masnisa Ipcha, Ana Navid Luchumra. Sabai says, now that we said it one way, and Rav Kana said it one way, and ultimately again, the Tana of the Braisa said it a different way. Therefore, the Maisa, we are going to be Machmir in both situations. Fine. Bosei, the Gemara tells another story. Abaye Dayer Gulfi. Now, Bosei, the Gemara now is going to discuss, and this is really fascinating, the Gemara now is discussing the different precautions that different rabbanim made in order to avoid certain inappropriate mixing of genders. Listen to this. Sabaye Dayer Gulfi. Abaye used to go ahead and set up jugs. Now listen to this. Look at Rashi. Gulfi, Makum Kavutzas Anosha Venashim, Ola Drasha Ola Chuppa, when there were groups of men and women together, either by a drasha, by a shir, or by a wedding, Hayem Esadir Kankanim Shalcheres Harbe Beinehem, Shim Yavau Ze'et Azayi Kashkishu V'Yishmu Ukal. This is amazing. So what would he do? He would set up jugs. He would set up like a mechitza of jugs. This way, if either men or women would cross the jugs would begin to rattle and would make noise. In other words, he's setting up a mechitza, but amazingly enough, it was not a visual mechitza, meaning you could easily see the men could see the women, the women could see the men. The idea was that it should create a barrier that there shouldn't be mixing of the genders. So he set up like this perimeter system, where essentially if you cross the line of jugs, the jugs would begin to rattle. It's like a sneeze alarm, you know, and it would prevent the mixing. I'm sorry? We're not putting in the shul. The Gemara says, no. We have a whole electrical system. It's much more, everybody has to wear a collar. If you switch over, you get zapped. So the Gemara says, Abaye, Dayer Gulfi. So also listen to this. Rava, Dayer Kana. Rava did the same thing, Rashi says, Dayer Kana. Misadir Kanim, Sha'ovarleim Nishma Kolam. The boss said that what happens? He used to set up like a wall of reeds. And if you would try to pass through the reeds, ultimately, again, the reeds would rustle and make noise. Amar Avin, supposed to listen to this. Amar Avin said, Sakva Dishasa Rigla. Literally, the sore spot of the year are the Yamim Tovim. I both said, what does that mean? Listen to this statement. Sakva Dishasa Rigla, Re'ua Shayimos Hashana, Liyichud Ula Aveira. I both said, the worst times of the year where people violate the laws of Yichud and Chas V'Shalom, the laws of immorality or morality, are the Yamim Tovim. Let's say the regalim. Why the regalim? The worst times of year. Sheyish kavutzas anashim v'nashim l'shmo drasha. Because often, again, large groups of men and women socialize together. Either they come to the shir or they have meals together. V'nosnim v'nosim ze'im ze. They talk a lot with each other. And sakva drasha and sin ends up happening. Also, can you imagine this? By the way, the Gemara says that literally the most difficult time of the year for lapses in morality are the yamim tovim. Let's say it's in a very, 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 very important yisod. Obviously, let's say, depending on where a person finds themselves on the spectrum of call it orthodoxy, there are different accepted norms as to interactions between men and women. But one thing is clear, that people have to be vigilant. People have to be vigilant, and this is true even as couples, and this is true even in groups. People have to be vigilant. One of the strongest drives that people have is the drive for arayas. And we've seen from the Gemara, a person should never think that they're such a kasher, that they're above any level of temptation. So the Gemara says, again, people are people. The Gemara says a person has to be careful with the nature of their interactions, how a person interacts with someone else's wife, how a person interacts with other women, how a person interacts even in group and social settings. A person always has to be vigilant that they're setting themselves up for a life of Kiddush and Tahara. And I'm going to show you something absolutely amazing. Look at Tosas in just a moment. Tosas writes over here. Tosas says, Sakva dishasa rigla. So look at Rashi says. Look at right, Tosas, last two lines. He says, quotes Rashi, last two lines in Tosas, Vish omrim lakach nanu lis anos achar pesach ula achar sukkis. Tosas says, Rabosai, you know what happens at the Pesach after sukkis? Bahab. There's a series of fast days, right? Of Mondays, Thursdays, and Mondays. After Sukkot, after Tosfos says, you know where those fast days come from? Those fast days come from because often there were moral lapses after the Yomim Tovim. I should say, there were moral lapses on the Yomim Tovim to atone for those lapses of morality over the Yomim Tovim. Chazal instituted Bahab. It's just an incredible yisod. A person, sometimes we mock these things and people sometimes think, we don't need these type of separations. We do. You know, to what degree, obviously, depends on a person's affiliation, life, hashkafas. But Rebbe said the need to maintain proper gedarim in interactions between men and women is absolutely important. Abaye, so the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Hanach Shvuyasa. Rebbe said, this is an amazing maisa. Hanach Shvuyasa, da asoy l'narda. There were a group, ultimately, of captive women who were redeemed in Narda. Asakinu lebe Amram Chasida. Rebbe said, this story is going to blow your mind. They brought the women to the house of Amram Chasida. Ashkulu darga mikamel. So Rebbe said, the women were staying in the upstairs part of the house of Rav Amram Chasida. So after they were upstairs, so they took away the ladder. Took away the ladder in order to avoid a yichud situation. So ashkulu darga mikamayhu. So we'll say what happened. One of the women was passing by the entranceway of the floor, and she was gorgeous. She was beautiful. So literally what it means is her light, right? Her light filled up the house. In other words, she passed by the entranceway, the upper story. And what happened? Nafal nehura b'upuma. The light literally fell on her face. And Rav Amram Chasida saw her. Rav Chasida saw her, and he was taken by her. Well, so listen to this. Shakli Rav Amram Ladarga, the Lohavi Yachlin Be'asar Lemidliye. We'll say what happened. Rav Amram Chasida picked up the ladder. Now understand, this ladder was so heavy that it took 10 men to carry it. Rav Amram Chasida picked it up himself. Dalye Lechude. He picked it up himself. Salik Va'azar. We'll say what happens. He put that ladder. Why? Wow. He was going up there to commit an Aveira with her. Because literally, again, he was so taken, he was going up to the commit Aveira with her. Kimata lepalga darga. When he got to the middle of the ladder, Ifsach. But say Ifsach, if you look at Rashi, Ifsach says over here, Ifsach, hirchiv upisek raglav lamo bimkom bechazaka leskarba al yitzro. Literally, he planted his feet. It literally means he spread his feet apart. In other words, he planted his feet on the ladder in order not to take another step. Ramakola, he began to yell, Nura be Amram, there's a fire in the house of Amram. So let's see, he began, now why is he yelling Nura be Amram? Rashi says, Amr Nura be Amram, Hizik b'nei ashchuna, le'asef v'lovo l'kabos adleik, k'dei sheyachtam yitzo she'ez vayish mehen. He starts yelling out, there's a fire in the house of Amram. Why? Because what does he want? He wants people to come to the house. Why does he want people to come to the house? Because people come to us, he's going to be embarrassed to commit a Maisa Aveira. He's going to be embarrassed to do an Aveira. So what happens? Asur Rabban, I'm supposed to imagine this scene for a moment. The rabbis come in. The ladder is back, right? The ladder is there. Remember, they move the ladder. Why do they move the ladder? To purposely avoid. They realize now, so you can imagine the scene. Rav Amram is there, mid-ladder. He's crying out, fire, fire, fire. Everybody comes in, and they very quickly realize what's going on over here. So Amrulay, Kisef Isnan. So the rabbi said to Rav Amram, you embarrassed us. How can you're embarrassing us? Meaning, people are coming in. They see that you moved the ladder. They see that you're running up ladder. They know what your intention was. What are you doing? So this is what Rav Amram says. This is why this is how you get the title Chasida. By the way, Amar Lahu Mutav Techasu Be Amram Ba'Alma Hadein V'Lo Tikasu Minei La'Alma Da'asi. it is better to be embarrassed, and better for Amram to be embarrassed in this world than for Amram to be embarrassed in the world to come. Others will both say, Rav Amram Chassid says, all I know is the following. I have to figure out how not to sin. And if it meant compromising my own dignity in order to save myself from a Maisa Avera, that was a price that I'm ready to pay. Bless you. So the Gemara says, what happened? Ashbei, dinfak minei, nafik minei ki amud dinor. So at that point in time, Amram Chasida, he commanded the Yitzhahara to leave him, and like a pillar of fire left his body. That Yitzhahara, the pillar of fire, left his body. Amarle, chazi da'at nura va'anabisra. So if Amram Chasida said to the Yitzhahara, he said, see, you're fire and I am flesh, va'ana adifna minach, but I am better than you. Well, it's an incredible, incredible maisa. First of all, it's an incredible maisa because it tells you that great people have a yitzhahara. I mean, a person shouldn't think that a tzaddik is someone who doesn't battle the yitzhahara. Sometimes we think that because I have a yitzhahara, it means it's a sign, ultimately, again, of my own lack of holiness, of my own lack of piety. No matter how holy a person is, at the end of the day, they require... Everybody has a Yetzirah, and it's a constant battle. Sometimes the greater a person is, the more intense the Yetzirah. But what makes a tzaddik is a willingness to confront and a willingness ultimately to battle the Yetzirah no matter what the cost. Rabbi Meir have a mislotis for Ovrei Avera. But listen to this. Rabbi Meir used to make fun of Ovrei Avera because he used to say that Lemaisa, again, if everybody should be able to combat this, this person should be able to overcome their taiva to sin. So he used to make fun of it. Yomachad, idmi li satan ki esesabahach gisa dinara. So we'll say one day the satan appeared to Rabbi Meir as a woman, as a beautiful woman, and she was standing on the other side of the river. Lohava mavra, and at that time there were no ferries to get across the river. So what happened? Nakat mitzra, the ka'avis. We'll say the only thing to get across the river was what? A tiny little plank with a rope. Meaning it was very dangerous to cross the river like this, on a little plank with a rope. So what happens? But there are no ferries coming. Rabbi Meir gets on the plank and starts climbing his way across the river. Kimata palga mitzra shafke. We'll say when Rabbi Meir was halfway across the river, the Satan released, the Yitzhahara released his hold on, Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir realized what was happening over here. Amr, the Satan said, "Ilav de kamachrazi berakia, hizarub Rabbi Meir v'tara." So had it not been that Meir that they announce about you in Shemai, be careful with Rabbi Meir and his Torah. Shavise ledamach tartimai would have made your blood as cheap as 2 cents. In other words, the Yitzhahara says to Rabbi Meir that again, if you wouldn't have divine protection, I'd kill you right now. So I'll say, what's the musr of the story? The musr of the story is to never chas shalom be mislotzeitz, to never go ahead and make fun of Ovrei Avera. You know, sometimes we see people fall prey to certain sins and we look down on them, we disparage them. Never disparage someone about say for falling prey to the Yitzhahara is very strong. And poor people make mistakes all the time. And none of us is above temptation. None of us is above making that mistake. So a person has to be very careful, even how they relate to Ovrei Avera, desire to never be overconfident in my abilities to overcome sin. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Akiva, let's listen to this. Rabbi Akiva, having mislotis Ovrei Avera. Same thing. Rabbi Akiva. Right, Rabbi Akiva also used to disparage sinners. And again, Rashi points out over here, Mislotes Ba'aveira, Omer Shenakal, second while in Rashi, Omer Shenakal Liskabra Ayitzroim Haim Hayirotzim. Rabbi Akiva used to say, come on, if you want to overcome your Yitzhahara, it's easy enough, you can do it. And if you're not doing it, it's because you're lazy. So he used to disparage Ovrei Avera. Yomachad Idmi Le Satan Ki Esesabre Shtikla. But say, one day, the Satan appeared to Rabbi Meir as a woman who is sitting on top of the palm tree. Nakde ledikla vikasalik vazel. So what happens? Rabbi Akiva starts scaling the palm tree. So the Gemara says, so first of all, you also see over here that the greatest taiva that people have is usually taivas nashim, is desire for immorality. And again, even these great people, I will say, that's an innate desire that people have. So what happens? Rabbi Akiva starts scaling the palm tree. So kimata lepalgi the dikla. So what happens? When he got up to half of the palm tree, shafke the Yitzhahara, the Satan released his hold on them. Amar ilav demachrezi berakia, Hizaru Rabbi Akiva v'Torah. So shivisi ledamich tarti moy. Bosse, had they not announced in the Shemayim, be careful with Rabbi Akiva and his Torah, the Satan says, Rabbi Akiva would have spilled your blood like 2 cents. Must an incredible ma'isa. Just so you understand, the Gemara points out, you know, you want to tell yourself, why does the Gemara have to tell these stories? Dr. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir. Again, it's very affirming because it teaches you, A, that even great people go ahead and struggle with the very same Yetzirah ultimately that the rest of us struggle with as well. We'll say an incredible, incredible Gemara. So, Plimo, Habaragilam, and we'll say, tell you something else, by the way, that, and can't say this enough, a person should never say that they're above temptation. Very important, Yisod. No one is ever above or beyond temptation. If Rabbi Akiva is not beyond temptation, I'm not beyond temptation. Rabbi Meir is not above temptation, so none of us are. Very important, Yisod. So that's why a person always has to be spiritually and religiously vigilant. Plimo, Habaragel Memer Kol Yomar, Gira Be'enei Disatan. I'm going to say, it's another amazing Gemara. Plimo, with one of the sages, used to say, there should be an eye in the an arrow in the Satan's eye. In other words, he used to wish ill upon the Satan. Satan, there should be an arrow in your eye. So the Gemara says, "Yirei be'enei de Satan yom achad ma'aliyom dikipurei hava idmili ka'anya." So we'll say one day it was Yarv Yom Kippur, and the Satan appeared. Satan appeared at Plimo's house like a pauper. Asakara abava. So what happens? So the pauper, the Satan, shows up at the doorstep, at the threshold of Plimo's house. Afikule rifta. So he knocked on the door. He said, "I'm hungry," and he gave him a loaf of bread. So the pauper said, "It's not right. On a day like this, Erev Yom Kippur, where everybody's eating inside, I should have to eat the bread outside." So they invited the pauper in, and the pauper began to eat his bread inside the house. On this day, Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's eating at a table, and I should be eating by myself. So asyuhu osvuhu atacha. So they invited the pauper to come in to join the family sitting at the table. Hava Yosef, as the pauper, remember this is the Satan disguised as a pauper, as the Satan is sitting at the table, malan nafshe shichna vikivi. His body is suddenly filled with like boils and pus-filled abscesses, meaning not very pleasant. And he was just engaging in disgusting behavior at table. So also you'll see this whole thing is a setup. So they said to the Sultan, "Tiv Shapir, sit nicely, meaning stop behaving, Amadei, stop behaving like this." Amrele, Havali Kasa. So the pauper said, "Can you pass me a cup?" So they gave him a cup with wine. Achmar shadubukicho. He coughed up phlegm and he spit the phlegm into the cup. This is what the Satan disguised as the pauper is doing. Nachrube, they scolded him. Why are you acting like this? Why are you acting like this at the table? So what happens? Shaka umis. So we'll say the pauper died. Now remember, this is set up by this is the Satan disguised as the pauper. The pauper died. Shamu davaka amri plimo katal gavra, plimo katal gavra. So we'll say, so what happened? So the Satan made it sound like people were saying, Plimo just killed someone. So what happens? Arak vitaka vitasha nafshe besakise. So Plimo got up and he ran away. He went to hide in the bathroom. Azal basre. So we'll say, at this point in time, the pauper gets up, walks into the bathroom. Ki dechazye dahava mitstair. So what happens? I'm sorry. Azal basre nafal kame. So the pauper got up, walked into the bathroom, and fell down again, making it look like he died in the bathroom. So at this point in time, Plimo is beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. He tried to do something nice by inviting this guy inside. Yeah, he gave him a little bit of mussar about how to act properly. So ki chazye dahava mitstair. When the Satan saw that Plimo was very upset about this whole thing, gali le nafshe. So the Satan revealed himself and showed Plimo that it's really me, the Satan. So Plimo says to the Satan, "You know what's up? You know what's going on over here?" So the Satan essentially says, "I'm very upset about how you talk about me. Every single day you say gira be'enei de Satan. Every single day you say that an arrow should go in the eye of the Satan. And I don't understand. I guess even the Satan has feelings, right? So why do you talk about me? I must have to understand." The Satan is a creation of the Ribono Shel Olam, right? The Satan, remember, it's going to sound strange. The Satan is the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ever given us. Because remember, it's the Satan, Yitzhara, it's all the same thing. But we'll say, that Satan, that Yitzhara, that's our catalyst for growth. Without that Satan, that Yitzhara, there's no growth. So the Satan says to Plimo, "Why do you speak about me so disparagingly that an arrow should go in my eye?" So Plimo says, "Ve'alehechi emala." So Plimo says, "No, what Tami Satan? What should I say about you?" So listen to this. Amrlei, here's what you should say. Leima mar brahmana nigar be Satan. Plimo, what you should say is, Ribono shel olam, give us strength to fight against the Satan. That's what you should say every single day. Don't disparage the Satan, because the Satan, I'm saying, is going to sound strange. The Satan is good. The Yitzhahara is good, because it's the Yitzhahara that is the catalyst for growth. It's the Yitzhahara. Without challenge, I'm saying, without friction, there is no growth in life. So don't say there should be an arrow in the eye of the Satan. Rather, say, Rachmana Nigar Beisat, literally, the Kadosh Baruch Hu should fight against the Satan. Ochabosai means that the Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach. God, partner with us to fight against the Satan. Amazing. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Rashi. So again, Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, Rav Ashi, Ravagil, kol even the havel naf nafel laape, hava amar harachamon yatzina miyetzahara. Yomar chad, so must listen to this. So Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, when nafel laape means he was saying tachanun, whenever he would say tachanun, he would always add in an additional tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us from the yetzahara. So listen to this. Yom Achad, Shamasinu Devisu. So one day he's davening, and his wife hears him during Tachanun saying, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, save me from Yitzhara." So his wife says, "I don't understand." Michte Hakama Shani De Parish Leminoi. So his wife's listening to this. His wife says, "It's been a number of years since my husband has been with me. Right, it's been a number of years since we've been intimate." So the idea that she's saying over here, look at Rashi, the parish minay, machmas zikna uma yarmi tahara. It's been a number of years since my husband's been intimate with me, and I assume that's because of his old age. He just doesn't have that desire anymore. So why is he asking every single day to be saved from the tahara? It's a good shayla. So listen to this. So my time, akamarachi yomachad, the havakagaris begins up. So one day. One day, Rav Chiya bar Ashi is sitting and learning in the garden. Kashta nafsha. His wife decided to see if her husband still had that desire for intimacy. So what does she do? I know, you say next to your father. I know, I'm sorry. It's your, so the Gemara says, Kashta, this is like father-son bonding time. You know, this is, so the Gemara says, Kashta nafsha chalfa. So what happens? She adorned herself. She made herself look very beautiful. And she passed by him. This is the Gemara says, "Vatanya kame." So Kashtanav shachalpa Vatanya kame. Amarle man at. So he didn't recognize his wife. He didn't recognize her. So what happened? Sister, who are you? So Amra ana charusa dahadri miyama. I am charusa. We'll say charusa apparently was a well-known prostitute. Was a well-known harlot. I am charusa who just returned from overseas. So tava, he propositioned her. Amra le, I sine heli lahach rumna. Bring Deresh Tzitzisa. Go ahead and bring me that pomegranate that's on the top of the tree. So which required incredible exertion. So what happened? Shaba Azal Asin Hila. So what happens? Sure enough, Rav Chiya bar Ashi summoned the strength, grabbed the pomegranate from the top of the tree. So the Gemara says, Ki Asso, and what happens? He had relations with her. Now Rabbi say he had relations with her, not realizing that this was his wife. So Ki Asso Labese, when he came back to the house, Havaka Shagra Devisu Tanura. His wife was firing up the oven to go ahead and cook a meal. So what happened? Salik v'kayosa b'gava. So I say, Rav Chiya bar Ashi walks into the oven. So Amrali, my hi. So I said, what are you doing? So Amrala, hachi v'hachi hava maisa. So he said to her, this is what happened. This is what happened. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to come clean. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened today. Amrali, don't worry. Anna havi. Don't worry, it was me. The woman you had relations with was me. It was your wife. So the Gemara says, lo ashkach ba. He didn't pay attention. So, meaning he thought that perhaps she was just trying to make him feel better and to make him feel like he didn't commit an aveira. So the Gemara says, lo ashkach ba adiya ba basimani. Finally, she gave him signs, meaning she showed him that it was really her. Amar ana miha liyisrichab. He says, still, I understand that lemaisa, I didn't commit an immoral act, but lemaisa, my kavanas, my intention was to commit an immoral act. Rav Chiya bar Ashi was never able to forgive himself for his perceived lapse in morality. Why? Because Lemaisa, at the end of the day, even though it turned out that he didn't do a Maisa Avera because it was his wife, but he didn't realize that, B'shas Maisa, his intention was to commit an act of immorality and he was never able to forgive himself. And therefore he spent the rest of his days fasting until ultimately he died as a result of his sorrow from this sin. Both sides, the point the Gemara is bringing up, first of all, there's 2 points again from this Gemara. Number one is how, again, a person, it's the same theme you see throughout the daf, person is never beyond temptation. Person is never beyond temptation. That's number one. It's so important to live life like that, with that recognition. And number two, that the Gemara is going to highlight the idea that even if it turns out that a person didn't do a Maisa Avera in action, but my kavana was for, well, kavana was for sin, even if Lamaisa, the action wasn't turned out to be sinful, person still has to do tshuva for erroneous or sinful intent as well. Disanyo, Yishav Eran Vashem Yislachwa, by a neder, if a woman makes a neder, so the pasuk says that the husband could annul the neder, but Hashem must still forgive her. So the Gemara says, "I don't say makas medaber." So we'll say, "I don't say if the husband annulled the neder, then what does the woman need forgiveness for?" So the Gemara says, "So b'makas medaber, b'isha shenadra b'nazir v'shama b'ayla v'haparla." We're talking about a woman who became a nazir. Her husband heard the neder and he annulled it, but v'hilo yada sheheferla. But she did not know that the neder was annulled. So the Gemara says, "V'haisa shosiyam tam lemesis." What's the case Torah talking about? A woman undertakes a neder in a zeros. Husband hears it and decides to annul it. But what? But he never told the wife that the neder was annulled. Meanwhile, she's going to levayas left and right, and she's drinking wine left and right, thinking that she's in violation of her neder. Now, in fact, it turns out that what? She's not in violation of anything. Why? Because the husband annulled the neder, but she didn't realize that. The Torah says, even though it turns out that what? You didn't violate your neder nezirus, but because you thought, because you didn't realize that your nezirus was void, and you thought ultimately again that you were making, that you were violating your neder, you require ultimately atonement for the fact that you thought that you were committing an Avera. So we'll say the idea over here is that a person doesn't only need to do tshuva for a Maisa Avera, but even if a person thinks, had intentions to do something wrong, even if it turns out that Lamaisa, what they did wasn't wrong, you need tshuva for erroneous intentions as well. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, when he would reach this pasuk, he would cry and he would say, "Uma mishen eskavin leachol baser chazer, va'adla biyado baser tala, amra Torah tzvicha kapara." Rabbi Akiva said, the Torah tells us the following: if someone had intent to eat chazer, but it turns out that instead he ate lamb, he had intent to eat something kosher, or non-kosher, but he ended up eating something kosher, he had a Kodesh Baruch Hu still says, Torah still says he needs kapar, needs atonement. So, mishen eskavin leachol baser chazer, va'adla biyado all the more so someone who intends to sin and in fact was, does sin, how much more so he needs to do tshuva. The pasuk says he did not know va'ashem, and he was guilty, he must bear his sin. What is that talking about? When Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, he would cry and he would say the following: Oma mishen is kavin leachol shuman va'ala biyado chelev amra Torah v'lo yada va'ashem v'nasav. Oh no! So if somebody wanted to eat shuman, forbidden fat, but it turns out that he ate chelev, right? I'm sorry, just the opposite. Somebody wanted to eat permitted fat, but it turns out that he made a mistake and he ate chelev. So the Torah says he bears responsibility for that sin, even though he didn't intend it, but he bears responsibility for his erroneous actions. Mishn is kavin lachol chelev, va'ala biyado chelev, somebody who has intent to sin, and what? Does in fact sin, alachas kama v'kamo, or the more so he needs to do tshuva. So Isi ben Yehuda omer, v'lo yada v'ashem v'nasa'av, oh no, al davar zeh, yidvu kol hadvurim. Isi ben Yehuda says, when the Pasuk Rabosai teaches me, even if I don't intend to do something prohibited, even if I don't know that I did something prohibited, I am still responsible for my actions. So Isi ben Yehuda said, yidvu kol hadvurim. All the sensitive people, Rashi says, kol hadvurim, sheish them leiv, lidvos, yidvu alzeh, shilu miskavein, All the sensitive people are very much affected by this particular sin, by this particular pasuk. Because what does it teach them? It teaches the idea, we'll say that's what? That even those ultimately who sin and don't have intention to sin still bear responsibility for the mistakes that they make. So we'll say we'll stop over here by Misyachid Adam Im Imo. So tomorrow, Emir Tashem, is our last daf of Kiddushin. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to start the daf at 5:45 Emir Tashem tomorrow to be able to finish up the Gemara. Again, there's still beautiful Akaritas. I would urge you, be here at 5:43. To get settled properly. So we're going to start at 5:45. Also for tomorrow and Thursday, we're going to be upstairs. We're going to be in the base medrash upstairs. So the best way you could, I guess the easiest way, probably if everybody just parks in the back, come up. This says the Avas Yisrael campaign is, we're sitting now in Command Central. So it's going to be occupying our space. But I don't mean occupying like occupying. I mean just they're going to be using the space in Yeretz Hashem over the next days that film will be. And just on that note, if you have not yet signed up for a slot to make phone calls for an hour over the course of Wednesday or Thursday, you can see Nehemiah. He'll be happy to sign you up in Yeretz Hashem. Or Dovi will be happy to sign you up as well. They can give you the link to sign up. Yeretz Hashem tomorrow, very exciting day. We should be Zoch. Yeretz Hashem B'Shal Tov Mislachas. To be able to finish Maseches Kiddushin, be Mesadir, Seder, Nashim together, please take your Gemaras with you now. Okay, perfect. So you can stack it in the social hall, and you can pick it up from Yeretz Hashem tomorrow. Shukriya.